Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here on this podcast, which is called The Creative Curmudgeon. Today, I have the honor of being joined by the Arizona self-described drag demon, Daddy Satan. How would you like to describe what you do to people who are listening?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. I would describe myself as a drag artist. I do drag king primarily, and I also have done a drag queen look before, and I would like to experiment a little bit more with that, but ultimately it's just an art form to me. It's a way I get to express myself and my talents and skills as well, and another way to make community and have fun. On top of that, I also do a lot of activism and volunteering throughout the valley. And I'm just really active in my community, so I use it in a multitude of ways, and it's a lot of fun. It's a learning process, but ultimately I'm the devil, so I can handle it.
Absolutely, the devil can handle anything.
Yes.
What about outside of drag? What do you and activism, like, what do you do with your time?
I love to game. I'm a huge video gamer. I just got my dad to give me my old PS2, so now I can add that to my collections of consoles. I do a lot of crafting, mostly for drag lately, just because I've been really blessed to have a lot of shows, so I get to use my creativity to make like different types of fashion or different props. But when I'm not doing it for drag, I like to use my crafting skills for scrapbooking and just little art projects like that. Otherwise, as far as activism goes, I've used my platform to be able to host a really great protest before. We did have three proposed bills that turned into four that were trying to ban drag in Arizona, which is kind of bizarre because it's just an art form. It's just something to have fun and express yourself and have fun with the community as well. So regardless of all of that, there were still the four bills. And I was able to use my platform to have a really great protest where a lot of people came out in support. And it was really lovely to see how many people actually love drag. So I kind of got to intertwine my activism with drag all at the same time. And that was really, really awesome. Other than that, I've also helped host a protest for trans rights and trans visibility. That one was really, really cute. There were lots of really sweet stories, and I just love bringing community together. So being able to make a safe space for people was what made that day very special for me.
That protest that you're talking about was in Gilbert, right?
I've done a couple of protests. The ones that I did in Gilbert, that was like a mini art project that I did. And that particular day, the theme was kind of along the lines of, hey, if you want to be religious, then you have to accept that God made queers too. And God loves all his children and love thy neighbor, including thy queer neighbor. So that one was really cool. I had a bunch of people dressed up like demons with me, and we wore spooky cloaks. So that way it kind of like drew attention to what was going on. And it was also like half an art project. But at the same time, we weren't allowed to talk to anybody. So that way only our signs is what was doing the speaking for that particular protest. But the two large protests that I held were both at the Capitol. But other than that, I do other things here and there as
Okay.
well.
What got you started in drag to begin with?
Yeah, I have always been masculine, and only within the past few years have I accepted my femininity. So it's kind of like a way for me to experiment both of those, like being masculine and pulling off my dude bro version of myself, but also using my feminine side of all of my skills that I've learned, like sewing. And not that these are inherently feminine, but that's how they feel to me and when I use them, because my grandma taught me how to sew. And doing makeup and things like that, it just makes me feel in tune with my feminine side. So how I got my start might have been inspired through RuPaul. I do remember him saying something along the lines of one time that anybody is welcome to participate in his show. And not that I wanted to be on his show, but it kind of just made me think like, oh, if anyone can be on the show, anyone can do drag. And from there on, it kind of just like snowballed more into me questioning my identity, questioning just so many things about myself. I was raised Catholic for 18 years, and I never even realized that I was queer. I thought that when I found a woman attractive, that it was literally the devil's voice in my head. So after I got out of that, and I started to actually accept myself for who I am and coming out as pansexual, then I'm just like, well, how far can this actually take me? And drag is a great way to let all of that out. I get to express my masculine side, which I have been bullied for, but now I get to be celebrated for it. And I get to meet other queers who have similar stories, especially being brought up in different churches and ways that it made them repress themselves. So it's allowed me to express a lot of different things that I have buried down deep for a long time. And now it just feels so freeing. So yeah, my initial start was to let it out.
I'm sorry that you experienced the Catholic side of like kind of repression and whatnot. Like I grew up very religious as well, but not Catholic. My dad grew up Catholic and he didn't realize that he was attracted to men until he was 35.
Oh.
And just like that sort of brainwashing just seems so deep with like Catholicism in particular.
Absolutely.
How old were you when you started doing drag?
It was only 2 years ago. Actually, March actually is my 3 year anniversary. So I just turned 29 yesterday, so 29, 28, 27, 26. I was 26 years old.
How did you, because like with my experience with this is, you know, through playing in bands and whatnot in the past, where, you know, you make music and then you go to venues or whatever, and then you kind of have to be like, hey, look at me over here. And then hopefully, and I'm not good at that. And I feel like it was just like awkward, but like sometimes it would work okay. And I'd be able to get a show like here and there. But how does that work as far as like you deciding, oh, I'm going to start performing drag? Like, what happened then?
Oh, definitely. I can totally identify with that because I can be really awkward in person as well. And I am not a huge social butterfly, especially in crowds. So the way I did it was once I accepted myself for being queer, I was like, I feel like I need a community or people that understand what I'm going through. But I didn't know anybody like that. So my first step was going through Instagram and just finding all of the local queer bars. And after I did that, I would find all of the drag shows that would be going on at those. And then I would follow all of those queens that were on the flyers and eventually just start to get a feel of what the Arizona scene was like. And then from there, I started practicing my drag makeup because I knew it was something I wanted to do. And then eventually I got in contact with my drag mom, Marlene Marvelous, and I just saw her on Instagram. I loved her makeup. And eventually we met at one of the bars, and I asked her if she could teach me some more about the drag shows and how it works. And that is when she offered to be my drag mom. So she actually taught me how to get gigs. And my very first bar gig, she took me to the Queer Agenda, which is what it was called back then, and taught me that I need to ask the show host, like, hey, can I possibly be a part of this? I've never done drag before. And that was the drag artist Benediction. So I asked Ben. Ben said to go ahead and message her on Instagram, which I did. And very shortly after, I got my first drive-by spot, which is a free spot, and it's just one number, but it's great for beginning artists because you get to keep all of your tips, but also try your hand and see if it's something you like. And then from there, I just got more and more connected with the drag scene, and being able to make connections with show hosts and some interest in my style of drag as well, and it kind of just snowballed.
So just to recap, you through Instagram would just kind of like keep your eye on people in the community that you enjoyed, and then you would just kind of see, oh, this person performs here, this person performs here, and then just kind of like start contacting people, and then you kind of found out about your future drag parents through Instagram as well, and then kind of went and befriended them. And impress them enough that they said like, yeah, I'll teach you the ropes. Did I recap that correctly?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And she's been a huge help because she teaches me all the back end stuff, which I would have had no idea how to do otherwise. So it was a good connection.
Seems like Phoenix has a really good, not just a drag community, but like weirdo drag, like stuff that's very inspired by horror. Like it's cool on Dragula. There's at least three drag performers that I can think of that are from Phoenix or like currently live in Phoenix. And I'm curious why you think that is. Like, why do you think Phoenix is kind of breeding that community?
I definitely have noticed this before, and I've talked about it with other drag artists. And what I think is the religious stronghold that there is in Arizona. And because so many of the weirdos that are similar to me or have just a alternative aesthetic, so many of them were raised extremely strictly Christian. And I think it's a way for us to kind of rebel against not being able to have a childhood where we could feel like we were ourselves, and being able to rebel against so many rules that we never asked for. And you don't have to be religious to be a moral person. And we're proving that by being good people. And we're also showing that we have a lot of talents and our own identities outside of a religion that we never asked for. So pretty much just so many of us were raised without choices, and we were raised with there is a heaven and a hell, and if you do anything, you're going to hell, and we're just tired of it. We're tired of these rules that we didn't ask for. So I think that's what it is, especially for me. I know for me it's a form to rebel and be able to take a hold of my own identity and my own story. But I think that is definitely the common thread between other alternative artists in Arizona.
No, that totally makes sense. I feel like Phoenix and the surrounding area just has more interesting, free thinking, people on the left that have grown up in the 21st century or become adults in the 21st century, whereas, our parents' generation, it was a lot more, and obviously there's still a lot of conservative bullshit everywhere, but also in Arizona. But like, I feel like people that became adults in the 21st century that felt uncomfortable about that said, fuck that. And then now things are getting a little bit better, hopefully, in some ways. I mean, it's all also obviously getting scarier in other ways, but I'm thankful for people like you and for people who grew up here and then decided to make something new, try to transform the culture in a way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, I'm using it as my power to fight back and be able to inspire others that they have a choice in their life.
I wanted to go back to your inspirations for drag, and I actually meant to ask this when we started talking about gaming. I was curious if there was any non drag artists. It could be something in video games. I've often asked people in the past, if they had like a book that inspired them, or a movie, or a musical artist, or anything else. Is there anything that really pops into your mind when I say that?
Ooh, something that specifically inspires my drag or just inspires me in general?
You can answer it either way. I don't really think of it as far as just like creative process, but I mean, it's all connected.
Well, I definitely love horror movies. I think maybe that would be a part of it. And H.R. Giger, really cool horror artist, I would say. Anything like that that's alternative. I mean, I grew up Catholic, which means I have a love for creepy churches.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
they're the
all of that dark imagery, gargoyles, cemeteries, bring it. I mean, what were they expecting raising me that way, right? So I love all that stuff. I love horror video games and anything that's horror related, pretty much. Those are definitely my favorites. And I don't know why I would like to bring creepiness into my drag. I think it's just a lot of fun. It's fun to like push my artistic creativity to see like, well, what kind of reaction can I get with this look? Or what will it look like if I make my eyes look like they're this big or things like that? So I think I just pull from really creepy imagery all around, but definitely video games and movies for me.
I don't understand how people that are religious would even, going back to that, would see that story, even if they believe it, would see that story as anything other than just the biggest horror story of all time, that there's an invisible moon in the sky who watches you at all times and will just like make you burn forever if you don't do exactly what they like. How is that not horror? And how would people not grow up with that and then just like kind of latch onto horror as like a catharsis from that of sorts.
Absolutely, I totally see that.
I talked with people on this podcast and just people in general about the idea of having some sort of costume when you perform. And for me, when I performed music and had some sort of get up at all, anything that is just different than just my everyday attire, then for me, it kind of took away some of the fear of performing in front of people because they're not judging me as much as this version of me or this like superhero alias or whatnot. So me like wearing this mask is almost like this like safety blanket or whatnot. And I would imagine that performing drag, at least at first, would be kind of a scary experience. But then I would also see that the opposite would be true, and that you are creating this alternative for yourself that kind of shields you. Is it one or the other more so for you? Is it both?
In the beginning, it was super scary, but I do kind of feel that. It felt like I had a filter over me where, like, if they really didn't like it, oh, I tried and it is just this one version of me. But now it doesn't, it kind of feels like a protector in some sorts. It is also funny because people like judge you off of that superhero version of yourself. So people kind of expect me to be like this super handsome, suave dude bro, but I'm just a silly little guy. So sometimes people's expectations kind of like you can see it on their face. They're like, "Whoa." I'm like, "Yeah, no. It, Satan is silly. What did you expect?" But yeah, sometimes it's weird because people do have that expectation. Like I've even been told that I'm intimidating, but once you start talking to me, I'm just super giggly and I just want everybody to have fun and have a nice time, and so I'm super nice. But now it just feels like my top form. It doesn't feel like a protector as much. It more so almost feels like a protector for the community. Like I get to put on this superhero form to fight for others as well. Like, I'm representing who I am and who I feel I am inside, but I'm also showing other people that there are possibilities outside of the box that they were given. So it's kind of like a protector for everyone, is how I feel lately.
That's awesome. So you learned how to do drag. And by the way, I appreciate the videos that I've seen you post where you kind of go through a little bit of a tutorial for how you do exactly what you do. I think that's very, very beneficial. And I'm curious you brought up having, a drag parent, but outside of that, and then I want to return to that, but how else did you learn?
So I've been practicing makeup for 9 years. The first three were absolutely terrible. But after that, I was able to do some really, really cool looks. And they were all like feminine looks. And I think I sort of was like getting bored with it. So then I started testing my hand at SFX, and I created a character I call Zipper Face. And pretty much he just has eyes and mouth that are all zipper, and you can open them, and it's all bloody underneath. And then that kind of evolved into trying drag. So it was a long process, and my beginning version of my drag character was a little bit more feminine than it is now, so it's more refined, but I'm also experimenting and trying different looks lately. So that's as far as my makeup goes. Fashion was
Sorry,
definitely harder.
can I stop you there before we move into fashion? Because
Yes.
remind me what SFX is. I feel like I'm embarrassing myself and everybody knows what this is, but can you remind me what that is?
Okay, honestly, I have no idea what it stands for. But
Well, that's okay.
I think it's something like special effects. I don't know if that's actually what it stands for, but anyway, long story short, I had liquid latex everywhere and a bald cap, and it was very hard to tell that the zippers weren't actually part of my face, and it looked just like a horror realistic demon, pretty much.
So SFX is like a brand.
It's like a type of makeup. So, if you think of like a horror movie, the person that is making the horror character, like the demon and the bloody stuff and all of the special makeup that they put on that character, that's probably special effects. If it has anything that's like different than beauty makeup, it probably is special effects.
Gotcha. Okay, and then Zipper Face. Was Zipper Face inspired by anyone or anything in particular? Or was it just like Zipper Face? That's cool.
Yeah, it was a little bit of Zipper Face is cool, and also I'm sitting in my drag room right now, which is full of just craft supplies, and I was like, what do I have I can make a look with? I have zippers. So then I was like, I'm gonna try out liquid latex, see if I can make Zipper Face, and it turned out.
Awesome. All right. Now we can move on to now we can move on to so one more question about the SFX. So did you learn how to use that through YouTube then, or
Yeah, definitely. All of my makeup skills I pretty much learned through YouTube. And like Jeffree Star particularly, I know he's canceled to the nth degree, but back then it was just helpful to see someone who wasn't like doing who was someone different. That's what he represented. So a different person doing different makeup and being okay with it, that's what helped me be able to do like really strange looks in the beginning. And then from there, I wanted to just try my hand at other things and challenge myself more. So I would find different creators that would do like liquid latex and application and how to make it look like your eye is missing and stuff like that. So I learned pretty much everything through YouTube.
okay, now my questions have been answered with that. We can move on to the fashion. So talk to me about the fashion.
Yeah, so at the beginning it was very hard because I don't know if fashion is my strong suit. It might be because I've been broke for a very long time. But yeah, at the beginning, my very first drag show, I wore sweatpants on the stage, but I literally had nothing else and I couldn't afford anything else. So it's been a long learning curve. But now that I'm able to afford a new piece, like maybe once a month, I'll just run over to Goodwill, see what looks kind of goth-ish or something I can turn into goth-ish, and then I take it to my craft room and I throw it in the shop. So I'll usually dye it black, throw on some safety pins, throw on some spikes, and I've kind of created my own style, but I'm definitely learning. With fashion, but I think the hardest part is money.
Sure, absolutely. And I interviewed Peaches Christ a few months ago, and
Nice.
she was talking about how just the grunge era of drag, like when she was like getting into it, versus, stuff that's on Drag Race, which is like obviously amazing, but like doesn't give the same sort of like the same kind of like I can do it too with like
Yeah.
not much money sort of empowerment. So
Yes.
with your makeup, how long does it generally take you to complete? I'm sure that there's a wide range here depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, it would usually take me about 2.5 hours. I would say that is the average. If it's my typical look, I can do it within 2 hours. And if it's something different, hard, or new, it could take me up to 4 hours.
You listen to music while you do that, or do you listen to podcasts? Like, what do you do to keep your, or do you, or is it just completely focused on that?
No, I will usually watch something. So I'll watch a movie or anime, or sometimes I'll even watch Markiplier play horror video games on YouTube.
So it's a YouTuber that plays. It's like one of those things where it's like a picture of the person and they're playing video games and then just kind of like showing off and talking shit.
Yes.
Cool. So you brought up that you're in your craft room. So is that's where everything happens. You sit in there, and then that's where the ideas come. Do you kind of just come up with ideas as you go about your day? Is it a little bit of both?
I would say this is the last stop. I would prefer not to be in here. It is just so full of supplies that there's too much going on, so it is hard for me to think in here. I usually get my ideas randomly, so I could be like at work and an idea will pop into my head and I'll have to like scribble it down or doodle it. Or I'll just be watching TV and I'm like, oh my God, this would look so cool. And then I have to doodle it again. Other than that, I also get inspired by different creators, either on TikTok or Instagram. And I'm like, that looks cool. I want to try my version of it. So those are my primary ways.
Is that how you get a lot of your ideas? Is just kind of like scoping out what other people are doing on social media and then trying to figure out how to like, Daddy Satan something like that?
Yeah, I definitely like to look at different makeup creators, even feminine makeup creators, because I can throw my own spin on it. So I look at creators that do just makeup. I also look at fashion creators, and I also look at cosplay creators too, because I also like to make my own props. So I definitely don't know everything. I have to learn somehow. So learning how to construct different things from other creators who have done it before are a huge help to me.
How is your room constructed? Like, do you have stuff just kind of like divided up as far as like, organization for makeup and the zippers and what have you? Or do you just have kind of like a lot of miscellaneous stuff that you like, do you get stuff and then kind of like hope that you can incorporate it after the fact? I feel like I asked a couple of different questions in there, so answer it however you want.
All good. Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I have some supplies for ideas that I already have so that I can make those. And then I have like other general supplies in case I need them in the future. And then I have things that I will pretty much always need for whatever I'm doing. Like I have my tools section. So if I need to put spikes on something, I have my poker. It's called an owl. And then I have all my screwdrivers to be able to screw them in so that they don't fall off because there's so many. Have all of the tools in one section. Then I have supplies in another section. So like fabric, zippers, photography stuff, anything that I could use even remotely close to drag. So even if it's like promoting drag, so like the photography aspect of it. Then I have all of my jewelry and accessories, and then shoes and props and sewing machines. So it's a little bit too much for one room. And as far as makeup goes, I actually have that set up in my living room, so that way I can think a little bit more clearly. And that also has a ton of supplies just in itself.
Did you always know how to sew? Like,
I'm
by always I mean like, did you start before you, like, age 26 or whatever?
I've sewn for a long, long time. My grandma taught me when I was probably like maybe 10. I'm not sure how old I was. But we started with hand sewing, and then she eventually taught me how to use the sewing machine, and we would practice by making these really creepy dolls. They like come in a preset where they're already printed, and you just cut them out, and then you sew it and put the stuffing inside. And they were probably from like the 60s, but maybe that's what contributed to my creepiness, is always having creepy stories to look back on in my childhood.
Okay, that also just like it like inspired just like because that's essentially what you do now, except you just like do it to yourself instead of this external
Yes,
doll. So yeah, that makes sense.
absolutely. I am the doll now. So with the basic skills that she taught me, I'm now able to use the sewing machine on whatever creativity pops up.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Grandma.
Yes.
So back to politics. So you are very politically active, as you shared. We live in a strange time where saying that masses of people shouldn't be wiped off the planet, it's very weirdly controversial. And I'm curious, outside of like just the outright activism, and you've brought up some of the demonstrations that you've done with drag, but as far as like your actual look, is there any way that, other than the inherent way that drag is, political and like what it challenges, are there things that you incorporate into your drag that are additionally political?
I don't, I'm not sure. Outside of then just drag as political, like you were mentioning, maybe just the added misogyny that goes on top of it, like how I'm treated different just for being a woman still, even in the drag scene. Other than that, it's more particular to the day. Like if I'm doing a particular look with a particular message, then it might be a little bit more skewed. Other than that, just being outright satanic looking. But I don't think my look really has much of a political look, other than just the drag aspect and me being a woman and accentuating my love for my own masculinity.
I meant to ask earlier about just the name Daddy Satan, which I think is a fantastic name. And
Thank you.
amongst the reasons I think it's fantastic, my partner told me about you a little while back. And usually when I'm told about people, I need to like write it down immediately or I forget. Whereas with this, I was like, oh yeah, Daddy Satan. That's staying in the permanent memory bank. And I'm curious, A, how you came up with the name, and D, how important do you think that is for just like, did you come up with the name specifically, like part of it being the hope that it would be memorable, or yeah, how did you come up with that?
Yeah, it actually started because I have some people very close to me that have very religious families, and they did not like the fact that I was becoming too fruity, in their words, and did not like the fact that I was experimenting with different makeup looks. Like back then, I was doing a water demon, so pretty much I was just blue, like just a scary looking mermaid. And that was too much for them, and they were telling me like I pretty much need to stop because I'm inviting demons into my house, and then would send all of their friends to go look at my social media, and I'm like, you know what? Like this was right when I was about to start drag anyway, so it all came together. I was like, if y'all want to see what I'm doing, then you can really see, and it's gonna be Daddy Satan. So if you have any questions about my affiliations, bam, it's right in your face. And if you want to see it, then that's on you. So kind of I just wanted to be in those type of people's faces, and leave no question that yes, I have read the Bible and realized that Satan is the good guy. So if you really want to come see, here I am. On top of that, the whole world gets to call me Daddy, so I have no problems with that. Other than that, it wasn't mostly to be memorable. It was just to be myself. Like, I completely understand that Satan was told all of these things to do. He was told to like worship humans, and even though they were like an inferior creation to him, and he didn't sign up for any of that, he didn't ask for that. And it's kind of how I feel. I didn't ask to be in a capitalist, misogynistic society, in a white supremacist society. I didn't ask for any of this, so yet here I am, and I'm gonna fight as hard as I can against all of those things, kind of how Satan fought against God. He may have lost that one battle, but in the long term, I think he's the good guy. So that's how it
He's the
all feels
ultimate.
to me.
He's the final girl. He's the ultimate, like, kind of protagonist in this horror movie, where God is the ultimate, like, Freddy Krueger, who, like, sends the protagonist to this fiery place just for rebelling. And so the protagonist is like, well, "Fuck you, I'm gonna do something with this." I don't know. I'm just pulling stuff out of my ass.
I absolutely feel it.
So, what's next? What's in the future for Daddy Satan?
Well, if you hadn't heard, Libs of TikTok are a new fan of me. So now that they've gotten my next event canceled, I just have a bigger fire under my ass to make the next event bigger and more badass. So I literally put 2 months' worth into work in this and a couple of $100. And now I'm just seeing that as a lot of pre-work to something bigger. So I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but it is going to be centered around Palestine, and I'm going to raise as much money as I can for Palestine. And it might not help as much as I would like, but it's the little bit that I can do. It's the little bit that I can use my voice for. And then besides trying to throw a next big show, I'm just gonna keep doing me. I'm gonna keep throwing my own shows. I'm gonna keep being a part of the drag community, keep being a voice for activism, because I know a lot of queer folks don't have the accessibility to tools that I may be privileged to. So I feel the right to share the knowledge that I've learned through being politically active to my queer community, because we all deserve to have a voice. We're supposed to be created equally in America. So I'm going to teach them how to fight for themselves and each other. And I'm just going to keep building community around that.
Fantastic. I look forward to whatever comes next.
Thank you.
My final proper question. So, what you learned as a drag student, what is some of the top advice that comes to mind that you would give an up-and-coming drag artist?
Yeah, I totally think knowledge is a human right. So I am completely anti-gatekeeping, and I love to share everything I learned, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to learn if someone didn't do that for me. So my top tips are that plan in your numbers for when to grab tips. Otherwise, it's super distracting to be doing your number that you planned and have money in your face, because it's hard not to want to just grab the money and run. But other than that, the way that I prepare for my numbers is I print out all of the lyrics and I highlight them by sections. So if something repeats, I'll know how often it repeats. I can plan different props or different reveals to do around those lyrics, and I practice for about 2 weeks at least. And then other than that, I would say just get out there, get connected. I know it's hard, especially if you're brand new to the community or you just don't have any friends in the community. It's okay, because that was me. Just follow some local queens, get out there, be nice, and eventually you'll be able to do it too. As long as you're a good person, we're all super welcoming, so we're ready.
I get out there. Do you mean like, because obviously there are, a lot of people that can't safely, go to events and things of that nature. But then even without the physical safety coming into it, there's just, people who don't have the aren't able to, for, any sort of emotional reasons, go to big events and like whatnot. So if I get out there, are you also talking about just like interacting with people online, or do you feel that like what do you mean more specifically by that?
Yeah, it could mean anything that pertains to that particular person. Actually, on this topic, I am diagnosed with PTSD, and for a while I was undiagnosed, and eventually it led to me being on full-time disability to the point where I could not even leave my house, even just to get my own groceries. That's how terrible it was. So I completely understand if you have anxiety or just different abilities that don't give you the ability to leave the house or anything along those lines. I completely understand you. And so whatever get out there means to you, I implore you to do it. If it means doing virtual drag shows or attending virtual drag shows, or if it means being active on social media and finding people within your community. There's lots of different resources out there. So if you're not able to get connected in person, we still have a huge online presence. And a lot of us in the drag community are super welcoming and super nice. So we're, yeah, anything that we're able to do to help as well, just let us know because we want people to be able to feel accepted and loved because it's America. You have the freedom to be whoever you want to be.
I miss online drag shows. I miss the some of the additional artistry that could go into that, like some of the Boulay Brothers ones that were happening in like 2020. I thought were fantastic. I
Yeah.
wish that happened more because it's not easy for all of us to go to, in person stuff. So maybe one day.
Yeah.
Is there anything you would like to add before we conclude this interview?
I would just like to add that I'm a pansexual, biracial, hairy, weird woman, and I don't fit into a lot of boxes. And I want other people to know that if you don't fit into a box, it's okay. You can be as weird as you are, take as many titles as you feel are right to who you identify as. You can do anything you want. And I know America can be a scary place right now, but you deserve to live your true free life. And those are the type of people that I'm fighting for. And that is what gives me a lot of fire to be my true self, is because I know I'm giving that opportunity to other people as well. So you can do it.
All right, then thank you for being your true self and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Hello, listener. You are currently being hypnotized. You will donate to this podcast at venmo.com/thecreativecurmudgeon. Thank you for your time. So long.